so many that we know. Is really, Jimmy was just with us over in Israel. When was that, Jimmy? In March. And he was an incredible blessing. We want to pray for him, too, in his mission trip. I might actually call it a mission trip, Jimmy, to the Philippines. And it was a joy also to see. Is Josiah here this morning, Jojo? Okay. And it was good to hear about his mission there with Tim Tebow's ministry there, at least his family ministry in the Philippines. And we have many Filipino friends actually in Israel. We know some beautiful believers that really shine for Jesus there. And don't let anyone look down on your youth, Jojo. But be an example by your love, your faith, your purity. Is this? Oh, I didn't plug this in. Can I just take this off, maybe?
No, you can't.
No, I can't. Okay, I'm sorry. I want to submit to your authority, bro. You got to be careful when you're from Israel and they wire you up. That's a good friend said. But don't let anyone look down on your youth, Jojo, but be an example by your love, your faith, and your purity. And by your example and your words, you'll win many to the Lord. And just want to thank the Lord for the opportunity you've had to share the Lord with so many people, and that's really what it's all about. The joy of sharing Jesus. Joe, what did I do this time?
Just keep talking.
Okay, praise the Lord.
Don't mind me.
And also to see Holly. And I missed seeing Chad. I have a wrestler for Chad to wrestle when he comes to Israel next time. He's the gold medalist from Ukraine. And Maxime and his beautiful wife, Karina, and their two kids. Their kids were like the grandparents to the kids, to Adushka and little Sophie. But he's really a champion wrestler. He actually, after taking a 15-year break with no practice, won the bronze medal in the Israeli Olympics just last week. So, Chad, get ready. And I know Adam's also a wrestler. Adam, a joy to meet you. And we were talking about in Hebrew, it's not Adam and Eve, but Adam and Hava. Hava means the mother of the living, the mother of the living. And blessed is the man whose quiver is full, you know, and it might shoot them out for the kingdom of God. And so God is blessing Israel with children. The pro-life work continues. We've seen thousands of children saved by the grace of the Lord in answer to prayer, your prayers. And thank you for your prayers for us and for the believers in Israel. Because the Messiah is at work among his people today, just as he was 2,000 years ago. And so we're going to have some live films from Israel. You're going to meet Israeli believers this morning that are doing the work of the Messiah today and bringing others to him. And it's a mighty work. It almost seems like incredible. When we came there 38 years ago, things seemed pretty quiet. There was a lot of opposition. Well, the opposition is still there and growing. You know, that we can expect that. I was just with 200 or 300 pastors meeting in the city of Netanya, and we were going through Acts 9 through 12 together, Joe. It was just incredible to see how the Lord uses opposition to strengthen us in our character and also to widen our boundaries in sharing the gospel to people we would have never reached before. And so, again, it's just a joy to be with you. We want to thank Anita Rose. She sends her love. We met with her on the way up at Westlake Village. And she says, you are just awesome people. She sends her love to you this morning as well. And we stay in contact with Jason. We're kind of like grandparents to his little girls there, him and Gabby girl. And anyway, keep them in your prayers as well. But the Blessed Hope family is very, very precious to us. And perhaps one day we'll open up a Blessed Hope Chapel in Israel. Wouldn't that be a beautiful thing? Actually, we're kind of doing that already when we have Joe and Lisa and their family and the Blessed Hope Chapel Fellowship come over there. I mean, you guys are just incredible when you go out and just share the Lord. I mean, this, it kind of blows Israelis away. I mean, first of all, just to see the love of their Messiah in your hearts and the peace and the richness that is there. But then to hear the good news presented with grace. So, so important, because the law is very heavy, isn't it? Really binds people up. But praise God for the mercy he's had on each one of us. That he loved us when we were yet sinners, when we were yet going our own way. Joe and I were talking about that last night. Joe took me to the Rams game, to the Falcons. Falcons did a great job. Yes, that's right. Somebody paid. But it was great. And, you know, and I just realized that going back, how I just, you know, used to just love football, grew up with football, basketball, baseball, all that stuff. And I just thought, Lord, you've changed me so much. I still love the sport. But that, you know, we don't have the spirit of the world in us anymore. We have the spirit which is from God. Our bodies are temples, his temple. And the joy is knowing him more and more and knowing the fellowship of his sufferings and just seeing what he's doing today. And it's just, we just feel privileged, really, just to be with you and just share a little of our story. So Linda's going to share about our family.
I just want to encourage you that when you make yourself available to the Lord, you just never know the surprises he's going to come up with in your life. And I mean, if you would have asked me years ago when I was going through Bible college and you would have said, well, you're going to end up in Israel, I would have said, no way. You know,
sure.
I just had absolutely no plans to end up in Israel. My goal was to be a missionary in Japan. And so in Bible college, that's what I was preparing for. And then I met Ted, and God had other plans for me. And that's the other thing is you need to be open, you know. Sometimes you're going one way, and God says, no, I want you to go this way. Take a right turn or a left turn. And that's what happened to me. But the interesting thing is that we've been in Israel for 38 years. We have three children. And my youngest daughter is right now in Japan. So, you know, you just never know what the Lord's going to do. We started out on a kibbutz. There was five of us, and we went over to Israel just to check out the land, and we planned to be there for 3 months, and that was in 1979, so that's been a long 3 months, so we're still there, and we basically kind of just got a little bit of Hebrew under our belt before we moved to Jerusalem, and we were 20 years living in Jerusalem. We had no children for 8 years. And then one man came and prayed for us, and he said, I'm going to see you next year. When I come back to Jerusalem, I'm going to see you with a child. And he came back, and I was 9 months pregnant with Tikva, our first child. So that kind of encouraged us to get into the pro-life work in Jerusalem. And there was no pro-life work there in Israel at the time. And so Ted was the first director there. And so all through the years, we've been working with pro-life, and we're still involved in it. You never stop being pro-life, do you? You know, God, Jesus said, I am the life, you know, so we're definitely pro-life. And then a while back, the Lord called us to the north. We were asked to be directors for a Christian retreat center right next to the Sea of Galilee, and we did that for 10 years, and the exciting thing about that was that it brought us even closer to the local body. We've always felt that our ministry has been to lift up the hands and encourage the local body. And a lot of times you don't hear about that local body here in the States. You don't hear about what is the Lord doing in his body of Christ in Israel. You know, you just don't hear that. Well, that's been our mission, is just to be a blessing to them. And so at this retreat center, we had many of them come and stay, and we could encourage them and just really stand with them. And that's the last 10 years we've been able to really, really do that. And we've seen the body of Christ just flourish, just explode in Israel. You're going to be seeing some of the results of that. And so just remember your brothers and sisters there. Keep praying for them. Keep praying for us. We just appreciate your love and support for us so much. So God bless you all.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Linda. You know, it's so amazing, you know, when you think about all of God's good gifts and all the things he does for us. So undeserved. And Linda and I, we've been married now 41 years. And in the Lord, it keeps getting better. The key is, of course, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things will be attitudes. We put Jesus first, then we learn how to serve like Jesus served, like he served his brothers and sisters when he was here. What an example to follow. Follow me, Paul said, as I follow Christ. We don't want to follow any man. Don't want to put any man on a pedestal or he'll fall in pride. But we'll follow those who follow Jesus with all their hearts. Like David Livingstone when he went to Africa. You know, when they found him, he was kneeling beside his bed with his finger on his favorite verse. You know where it says, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. teaching them to observe all things which I have commanded you. And lo, I'll be with you always to the end of the earth, to the end of the age. That was his favorite verse, that the Lord would be with him. He'd wrestled with lions. He'd wrestled with men. He brought the gospel. He worked against slavery. The organization we worked with in the Galilee, actually one of the founders of it was William Wilberforce. I mean, these were men that walked with the Lord. I had the privilege of being in England and seeing George Mueller's original Bible, which he read over 200 times. I mean, I don't know about you, but I'm challenged. 200 times. He had God's word in his heart. A joy in the midst of adversity, rescuing little kids off the street and then making disciples of them. And we met one of his disciples when we were there. It was an elderly lady. And, you know, it was just like he was still there. She's speaking. And it's just like, you know, the Lord said, I am with you. Where two or three gather in my name, I am with you. We don't see him, but we love him. As you said yesterday, Joe, so beautiful. And when I saw the grandchildren yesterday of Holly, I was just so blessed to see the energy. And of course, we always think, where'd the years go with our kids? Tikva's so big, and Jeremiah and Shira over in Japan, speaking Japanese and Korean and reaching out with the gospel there. It's such a blessing. Such a blessing. The verse I wanted to give you, Joe and Lisa, and to all parents is Psalm 128:6. You will see your children's children and peace upon Israel. The reign of Messiah. When we pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Shalom, Shalom, Yerushalayim, we are praying for the reign of the King of Peace, Yeshua, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace, who gives us peace in our lives through His shed blood. Because He took our judgment, our sin, we know, upon Himself and transfers to us His righteousness. This morning, I'm wearing one of Joe Schimmel's shirts. Thank you, Joe. Actually, I didn't know what Joe was doing. He started bringing me all of his like shirts and clothing. Not all of them, obviously. Lisa wouldn't approve of that. Not all. But his best, right, Joe? But anyway. But I thought, you know, that's what the Messiah has done for us. We sing a song, Sos Sasis, rejoice in the Lord, because He's clothed us with His robes of righteousness. And that's how the Father sees us. I mean, it's hard for us to believe we're called saints, but actually He sees us as holy through His Son. Through that blood, that's how He sees us, as His children, washed in the blood. Yes, we can have the enemy pointing the finger, you did this, yes, it's true. But Jesus speaks in our behalf, our advocate, our lawyer, before His Father. His protection over us, shielding us. He did not come, He said, to judge us, but to save us. Amen? Hope does not disappoint us because His love, Romans 5:5, has been poured into our hearts by the Holy Spirit. One of the favorite verses of Corrie ten Boom, who I had the privilege of meeting when I first became a believer at the San Diego Sports Arena. And that night she spoke and she said, get the Bible in your hearts because one day is coming when they're going to take your Bibles away. I thought back then, 40 years ago, why would they do that? But you know, that's what the war is today. It's against this book. This book. A Franciscan priest, when I was at San Diego State University, held up this book and said, if this is the truth, I hope you want it. I had never read the Bible. I called the book of Psalms, Palms, like palm reading or something. I didn't know. I didn't know this book. I was ignorant. And therefore, like Paul said, you know, I was chosen in Christ. And yet I was the chief of sinners. I was just doing so many terrible things. And yet at the same time, I was still going to church, being religious, trusting that I could have forgiveness from a man called a priest. And I didn't know the high priest. I didn't know the Prince of Peace. And thank God that when we're in Christ, we are a new person, new creation. And that's the secret, Paul said to the Colossians, of being a believer, is that Christ is in you, the hope of glory. I remember sharing with another former wrestler. He was actually one of the heads of the village, Migdal, where we live. That's where Mary Magdalene was from, Magdala. Joe, did you visit the new site where they uncovered the synagogue? Yeah, it's one of the synagogues Jesus preached in the Galilee, and it had been covered by a mud storm. Not a mud storm, a mud slide from a storm. And they actually found the whole thing, you know, still in good condition today. They actually found what they call the Bema, which was the place with the, where they would put the biblical scrolls. And which was interesting, this Bema stone, they had to take it right away, take it away to the Rockefeller Museum to protect it, and they had made a replica of it. But it actually had drawings on it of the second temple that was there when Jesus was there. They never found anything like this. And then one day, Channel 2, the Israeli news, was there one day and says, how do you find coins? And they had this little thing they're showing him, and there was a coin with Tiberius Caesar on it. I mean, praise the Lord, the earth is still crying out. It's all true. You know, it's not made up like Mormonism or, you know, other books. The Quran, made up things, lies, from the father of lies. But the truth, God's word is truth. God's word is truth. And that's what the Holy Spirit wants us to do, is like newborn babes, to fill, be filled with the word of God, that we would, let me read something from Corrie ten Boom. It was part of my devotional. I read each day. I had the privilege when we were in the Netherlands of going to the very watch shop where her father Casper worked. You know, they prayed over 100 years for Israel's salvation before Israel was ever a nation. Her father, her grandfather, and they brought the gospel. They reached many people that were had addictions in the area there in Harlem where they lived, even handicapped children. And Casper would pray with his friends. And the sister, Betsy, was involved, and the Noli and all the others were involved in getting the gospel out before Nazi Germany came and took over Holland in the 40s. But one thing she wrote, which really touched my heart, it's just a verse from the Bible. It says, let me get this here. I might need my glasses. Let's see here. Yeah, it's on this page here. Okay. This is from Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 to 10. I'll read this one because the print's a little bit bigger for me. This is from the Phillips, which is when the Koine Greek was written, it was written in the common language of the people that they would understand. It says, we're asking God that you may see things as it were from his point of view. Wouldn't that be wonderful if we could see through God's eyes? That's why we ask God, it says, if anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men generously, without finding fault. God is always for you. The devil is always against you. And the way that you vote or I vote will carry the election. So that's why we want to stand on God's promises, which are all yes, it says, and amen, the book of Hebrews, in Christ Jesus. So we're asking God that you may see things, as it were, from his point of view, being given spiritual insight and understanding. We also pray that your outward lives, which men see, may bring credit to your master's name, and that you may bring joy to his heart by bearing genuine Christian fruit, and that the knowledge of God may grow yet deeper. And that's what God's will is, that we would really, as Paul said, to know him, and that we would share in his fellowship, and that we would be led by the Holy Spirit and the things that we do every day. And sometimes we blow it, but that's where we can come with the promise, you know, if we can't have fellowship unless we're walking in the light. And we know that if we do sin, that if we confess our sins, John said, he's faithful and he's just to forgive us all our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. A daily cleansing. So our salvation did happen at Calvary. Yeah, 2,000 years ago. And you can go there, right? When you go on, you go to this trip to Israel, you'll actually go where Golgotha, they actually call it the Skull Hill. And it's actually, as Joe was pointing out to this Israeli man the other night, that is where Mount Moriah, where Abraham went to offer his son Isaac, the very place. Praise God. And the resurrection was just right up there on the Mount of Olives, right near Bethany, where Lazarus, remember when Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead? It's a good thing he said, Lazarus, come forth, because if he had said, come forth, everybody would have come out. He's the Son of Man, the Creator. I mean, in Colossians, Paul said, all things were made by him, and all things consist of him. He holds all things together by his word. His word. And so his word gives us knowledge of him, but also understanding of his will. And God wants us to know his will more than we want to know it. He is so for us. And says, let your light shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. And just the Father wants to see the works he did through his Son through us, because his Son is living in us. And that's why we pray. That's why we seek him. That's how we started the pro-life work. I mean, we heard about abortion, and I knew nothing. I was ignorant of it. I used to say to the Catholic groups down in San Diego, you know, God bless you for saving the babies, but I'm called to preach the gospel. Well, I didn't know that was the gospel. And you'll find, I was teaching missions and church history, that a lot of the works of the gospel went out through us getting involved in our societies. Not just staying in the church, but going out. And that's what we do in Israel. We go out. I went to the police station in Jerusalem to ask for a permit to be able to display pro-life materials and to pass out literature, because people perish because of a lack of knowledge, it says. Rescue those being led away to death. Don't stand back and let them die. Speak up for those who can't speak for themselves. And praise God for Blessed Hope Chapel as you do that. And you'll see fruit. And I remember the first baby that was saved was a little Arab Christian, from a little Arab Christian woman who was not married. And her life was being threatened, and we sent her down to Bethlehem. She gave birth. Well, sometime later, there was an Ethiopian woman who came. You know, we have many black Jews in Israel. And, of course, that takes you back to Philip, the evangelist, and him obeying the Lord, saying, go stand next to that chariot. And there was this eunuch reading Isaiah 53, which isn't allowed, which isn't read in our synagogues today. When Brother Jason Kovar went over there, he said, I'm going to share Isaiah 53 with 20 Israelis. Well, he probably did it with about 2,000 Israelis. And soldiers were like gathered around us at this coffee shop. And Jason is, he's calling it Yeshayahu Nun Gimel, you know, the Hebrew of Isaiah 53. And these guys are like, they're so interested. They haven't heard. As Greg was saying to me this morning, you know, most of the Jewish people don't even read their own book. They don't know their own prophets. Yeah, they'll read the Torah, they'll read the Psalms. Well, our friend this morning, you're going to see Victor Kellischer at the Bible Society. He's taken the book of Psalms and he's underlined and he's put in red all the verses about Messiah, like from Psalm 22, they pierce my hands and my feet, or Psalm 69. And so they're reading through the Psalms, and what are these red words? Oh, wow, about Messiah here. Amazing. And so the Holy Spirit has opened up the eyes of even religious Jews today. And we have one friend, he's so bold with the gospel, he's like a type of a junior Paul, bringing the gospel to the Orthodox community today. And Victor's father, he was called Joel of Jerusalem. His real name was Svi Kalischer. And he worked among the Orthodox for many, many years. And his son, believe it or not, one of his sons is the head of the Bible Society today. One of our best friends, him and his wife, Eddie, he was an officer in the Israeli Navy. You know, and today he's just creatively reaching out with the gospel to all the people groups in Israel. Jews, Arabs, Muslims, every people group there. God has brought the Jewish people back from over 120 nations, all the different languages you'll hear. And they're all learning the language of Hebrew, a prophecy of Zephaniah, the book Zephaniah, is that right? Svania, we say in Hebrew. And it says, the Lord will restore the pure language back to the land. So that's a miracle too. And you could go through, there's over 100 prophecies about the Jewish people coming back from the ends of the earth, the four corners of the earth. I'll whistle for them. I'll roar for them. I'll bring them back. I'll plant them in. And guess what? I'll give them a new heart to know me. And they will look upon me whom they have pierced. And we're seeing more and more natural branches being grafted in today. Praise God. And that's what you're going to see. Now I'm going to, we say shake it, be quiet, and let you see now some of the Israelis that we work with, our brothers and sisters. Okay, the first one is a work among the Arab people where our sister Kelly worked in Nazareth.
Jesus said, let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of heaven. This is exactly what CF Ministry is doing in this holy land. It was founded in 1966 in Nazareth, here in Israel. CEF is here to train, equip, and reach children's hearts. The ministry in Israel works mainly among the Arabic-speaking community, but it reaches out beyond that in special occasions. The ministry is presently active in training teachers of different churches in the Galilee area, and has many different ministries for children during the year. especially around Christmas and Easter time. As for the summer, CF is involved in the camps. We have a few challenges, as most Christian organizations have. It would be a blessing if you would like to share in the support of our local team. Many of them volunteer from their own time. We believe that the Lord will provide the support that is needed. You can volunteer and help among the children. Contact us and tell us how you desire to help. If you are interested to know more about the ministry, you can visit our page on Facebook, caf.israel. Every child, every nation, every day.
Beautiful, eh? Well, that was Fadi Hanna, and his father, Suhel, was the chaplain in our prisons in Israel. And that's now done. He's passed away. He's with the Lord. We had a celebration lunch. It says, the Lord says, I delight in the death of my saints. He's now with the Lord. He's entered his reward. All these years of faithfully laboring, he brought the gospel all over the Galilee, and many, many people came to faith. And we visit, I speak at some of those churches today. And Fadi had, I called Fadi up. I had a guy, I called him Captain America. His real name is Johnny. I mean, he's, well, not as big as Joe, but he looks like Captain America. And he jumps, he's the top jumper out of the Air Force. He jumps out without his parachute and lands on the 50-yard line at football games. But his father's a pastor. And he gave up his summer to be with his Army buddies, his Air Force buddies in Europe, and said, I want to come volunteer with you at Beit Braha. I mean, what humility. I thought, oh, I'm so privileged. Well, we began to hear his stories. They were quite exciting. So I called Fadi up from the Child Evangelism Fellowship. I said, would you like to have a guy come along who does this? And he goes, that'd be interesting. So the kids, of course, just loved him. And he brought some of the films and stuff of his jumps. And when I was there, a young girl who was teaching the children, she was 18 years old, and she came to me and she said, I want to thank you. And I said, thank me? I said, for what? I didn't really recognize her. She said, 18 years ago, my mother was going to abort me. And because of your work, I'm alive today. And, I was just so touched, because a lot of times we don't know what the Lord is doing. We're just trying to be obedient to him. And we're praying, Lord, may they see you through us. May you speak to people's hearts to choose life, to choose eternal life. And that's just the work of the Holy Spirit, praise God. And they have about three of these camps during this each summer. And even Muslim children today, you won't hear about it in the news. It's too sensitive. And persecution, of course, is great already. But these Muslim kids are giving their hearts to the Lord when they come to these Bible camps and they hear about Jesus and his love. And they see these other kids who have joy in their lives. And so praise God, for this work that he's doing today in the Galilee, the same area where Jesus ministered. Okay, let's look at the next one. It's called Chaim B'Shefach. That's the Hebrew word for abundant life. Jesus said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly.
Chaim B'Shefach Ministry was established in 2004. We are a non-profit organization that has two main branches. One is pro-life, and the other one is ministry to the drug addicts, prostitutes, and homeless in Tel Aviv. One thing I do in this work is I do outreaches, and we go to the streets of Israel and we give pamphlets against abortion. And before we go, I share with the people that come with me about the leaflets, about shedding of innocent blood from the Bible. And over the years, we've seen many babies get saved from abortion from leaflets. They see the number and they call. And we have counselors, and they answer the phone. We have also a page in the internet, and today when a woman is pregnant and she's an unwanted pregnancy, she go to Google and she type abortion, and our number is there, and then our counselors answer the phone and encourage the woman not to do abortion. And it's very effective, and we see a lot of fruit from the page, the internet page. Also, when the women are in need, and many times they become single mothers, we help them with things for the babies, and we see that the work is growing. One thing also my wife does, Anat, she gives seminars to women that had abortion in their past. She gives seminars that is based on the Bible, and we see how the women get free from what they did, and we see also women that did abortion and they also become counselors. For 11 years we help women who are victims of sex trafficking, women that are in prostitution, and we mainly work in the center of the Tel Aviv, in the old bus station in Tel Aviv, and there are women there that are prostitutes, they are drug addicts, and they are homeless, and we help them, and they are very wounded women, and it's not a easy place to be. And we also open a day center there, and we call the place the Red Carpet Nail Center. Women come there and we help them with manicure, pedicure. They can come very dirty, they can wash, they can clean, they can eat, they can change their clothes, and they receive all that, and they receive love. And also my wife cut their hair, and they see that we care for them. They have wounds, the drugs, today it's chemical drugs, they poison their blood. Also transsexuals come and we give them the same. Also they receive prayers and we encourage them to go to rehabilitation centers. And we also celebrate their birthdays, Jewish holidays, and go also to other rehabilitation centers to serve women that went out of this area of the old bus station in Tel Aviv. And we've seen women that their life changed, and women that received the Lord. We want to thank you for standing with us in prayer and support. If you want to know more about us or read our news, please visit our website.
Amen. This is one of three of our pro-life organizations that is working, and they have places of shelter and homes of discipleship for these young ladies that are precious to the Lord, modern-day Mary Magdalenes that being freed from demonic activity in their lives and set free and love Jesus, like the women who ministered to him from their own pocketbooks and helped him. Men and women, followers of Jesus, bringing the light in the darkness. And I had the privilege of recruiting Yishai. He was at one of our outreaches in the city of Kfar Saba. That means grandfather's village. Kind of a nice little name. But we would go out each week, different parts of Israel. And we're in this mall. And I saw this guy on the other side of the room. And I didn't know who he was, but he was helping us. And I thought, I said, who is this man? And his wife, Anat, who's... She had had an abortion when she was 16. She was one of Israel's top gymnasts, and she'd found Messiah and forgiveness and new life, and she loved reaching out with the gospel to others and helping them. And she said, that's my husband. He just lost his job in construction. And just as I'm listening to her, I heard another voice. It was the Lord calling Yishai. Come follow me, I'll make you a fisher of men. Well, Yishai was already saved. He came to the Lord in Canada. And he'd been through the wars and everything, was a soldier, former soldier. And I talked to him. I said, would you like a job? I need an outreach director. He said, well, I'm unemployed. Well, this man has such a heart of gold. And he is like a Nathaniel. Seriously, just that guy... He loves God's word so much. And he began going out. And he goes out everywhere in Israel. Even if he goes out alone. We don't advise that. We always suggest that, you know, we go up by at least two or three. But the work has grown over the years. And many, many babies have been saved through the work. Many women helped. And now they're in this whole area of freeing those that are in the sex trafficking and that kind of thing. And his sister is doing a marvelous work running the homes there, bringing the gospel to the girls too. So pray for them. Yishai is going through a real hard time right now in his life. So if you please lift him up. His wife would really appreciate that. And they're just trusted friends, just hearts of gold for the Lord. And just a joy to serve the Lord with them. So as we got involved and began to pray, the Lord led us to put out pro-life literature in Israel. And also had the privilege of speaking at a conference with Dr. Bernard Nathanson, who had performed over 60,000 abortions at Mount Sinai Hospital in New York. He was the founder of NARAL, the National Abortion Rights League here, in passing abortion laws in the United States in the 70s. And he'd see the Christians coming out and praying at his abortion clinics. And his conscience started to bother him, he told me, and he couldn't do the abortions anymore. And he actually accepted Christ. And he got fierce opposition, of course, from those who were involved in the killing fields of shedding innocent blood. I've taught over 30 years now on the consequences of shedding innocent blood in Israel and the nations. And we can't even imagine. We sent a verse to all of the Knesset members, 120 of them, saying, "We put before you today life and death. Choose life so that you and your children may live." That's God's will. That not one of these little ones would perish. "For they're angels. Look upon the face of my Father," Jesus said. We can't even imagine the sacredness of life, let alone eternal life. And Jesus said, "I am the way. I am the life. I'm the truth." "For it's like a slap in the face of our Heavenly Father to touch one of His little ones." And we're so, so happy for Heather. Where's Heather this morning? And Adam, they're expecting? Went to the restroom, okay. I might need to do that later. But anyway, praise God for your new grandchild that's on the way. You know, and this is what children were meant to be, a blessing, you know, of the Lord. A blessing. And so it's so sad because we live in a death culture today, don't we? As we see so sadly the fall of Judeo-Christianity across Europe, the West, and the United States as we stop reading this book. And Daniel Webster said, "You know, when we don't have the Bible and we don't have Christian literature going out, Satan's going to come in with all his devices, wickedness and darkness and sensuousness, and it's going to spread everywhere. Perversion." He was a man that walked with God, the man that wrote that dictionary. We can learn so much by those who went before us. You know, there were those who went to Israel in the 1800s who went there to pray, who believed in the restoration of Israel as a nation, and they began praying for that. Not just the physical restoration, but the spiritual restoration that they knew before Jesus came back. As Peter said in the book of Acts, he must remain in heaven. Must. Until the restoration of all things which God has spoken through the mouth of his holy prophets. Trust in God's prophets, trust in his word. Well, look at Jeremiah, the weeping prophet. He saw the shedding of innocent blood, but he also saw many other abominations and things that were happening. The sadness of the people worshiping God with their lips, but turning their back and following idols and doing unbelievable wickedness. And yet he loved. He continued to bring the word over 40 years through various kings to Israel. And he actually saw with his very eyes when the Babylonians came. Right, Joe? He actually bought property because he knew Israel would come back according to the words of Daniel. I mean, Daniel's actually the one, he was reading the words of Jeremiah. Right, Joe? Got that turned around. And he was encouraged by the words of Jeremiah because he knew they would come true. So that encouraged him to pray three times a day towards Jerusalem, even go to the lion's den. Praise God that he's able to close the mouth of the lions. And for us too, he does that. He's able to rescue us from those who would want to harm us. I remember being chased around Jerusalem by Orthodox Jews and even going through Mahasharim, but the Lord protected me and I survived. But he protects us in so many ways, each one of us. his angels. He commands his angels concerning us to guard us in all of our ways as we're doing his will. Anyway, let's look at the next film. This is the gospel in Israel today that is going out. And
the ancient land of the Bible. The word Israel might make you think of exotic desert scenery and camels, but I'll let you in on a secret. We love our technology. And the internet, especially Google, Facebook, and YouTube, are a big part of Israelis' daily lives.
In fact, did you know that Israel is the leading country in the world for hourly time spent online? Over 90% of all Israeli households are connected to high-speed internet, and over 97% of Israelis between the age of 13 to 34 own a Facebook account.
With modern-day technology, the media and the internet have become the main tools to reach the masses, especially in Israel, where some government official and anti-missionary organizations are trying to block the gospel from being spread.
So who is reaching Israel online? OneForIsrael.org is the evangelistic effort of Israel College of the Bible. Through One for Israel, we are fulfilling our vision to reach our own nation of Israel with the message of salvation through Yeshua the Messiah, using culturally relevant media tools and websites, all in the Hebrew language. We're also training a new generation of Israeli believers with the skills necessary to penetrate and influence Israel with the gospel through secular media.
OneForIsrael.org is responsible for creating and maintaining a number of evangelistic websites in Hebrew. Our goal is to turn every virtual contact into a face-to-face meeting by connecting our online seekers with local congregations of believers for follow-up and discipleship.
If you would like to hear more about what the Lord is doing in Israel and how you can play a part in sharing the good news of Messiah Yeshua with the Jewish people, please contact us. We would love to hear from you.
Also, feel free to check out our website for more information about our ministry in Israel and follow us on Facebook to keep in touch.
So the Apostle Paul's prayer was, you know, my heart's desire that Israel would be saved, and that prayer is being answered today. And your prayers are being answered as you pray for the peace of Jerusalem, for the gospel to go out through these Israeli brothers and sisters. One of the guys on there, David Salinger, gave me a call about 13 years ago and said, Ted, can I bring a group of Israeli soldiers to Beit Bracha, where Blessed Hope stayed? And I said, sure, David. I didn't really know him. He was an officer in the IDF. And he said, I'm going to bring 60 soldiers. Do you have room? I said, no, but come. It's okay. It'll work out. And we hadn't yet opened it. We actually had Calvary Chapel, the School of Evangelism in San Diego, came down and they cleaned up the building and got the paint off the windows, and we were still putting in the gardens, and we had a precipice. I mean, it was a real sharp fall off, and we didn't have the glass railing up, so I said, please be careful. He said, well, we'll bring our own cook, and we'll bring sleeping bags, that kind of thing, and put the guys on one side, girls on the other. So 60 of them came, and they came to study the word together, and they came to worship the Messiah, to fellowship, encourage one another. It was such a blessing. That was the beginning of Israeli soldier groups coming to us. And we have been so encouraged over the last decade of meeting these young people who are just burning with the Lord and to walk with Him. And numbers have really been strengthened in their faith and have also been able to share the gospel. And they've been being asked in their army units, some of them officers, would you please share what is it that you believe? And they've had opportunities to share the gospel with secular and religious Jews in the army. So the Lord is, you know, on the move today, just like in the book of Acts. It's exciting. So let's look at a couple of these film clips.
Lech Lecha is a framework in which there are several different activities, the main of which is a 3-month Bible school discipleship program. The aim of all of which is to encourage young Israeli believers to walk closely with Yeshua in Israeli society wherever he may put them. The vision for Lech Lecha started in 89 when I finished the army. At that time there was nothing for young people who were interested in doing a few months studying God's word, discipleship in Israel. Our main program is Bible School Discipleship Program, in which the first 2 weeks is really focused on personal walk with the Lord, and personal prayer, repentance, commitment to the Lord. And then after those 2 weeks, we start on an overview of Scripture. There was nothing like that in Israel, and there still isn't anything really is filling that particular need. We're really trying to encourage them to see that they can actually open the Bible with their friends or their families. The focus is to know Yeshua, to walk with Yeshua, and to make Yeshua known to others. We have big emphasis also on the local congregation. So every 2 weeks they actually go home to be in their congregation. We have very much in our hearts the vision of Israelis going out and blessing the world. So we go out for a few weeks. We have a good connection with Africa and Uganda and other ministries outside of the country where they go for a short time. We do hikes with them. We have the privilege in Israel to be able to be in places where the things that we're talking about happened. We're really passionate about Yeshua and seeing young Israeli believers walking a daily close walk with Yeshua, seeing the Bible as their daily food, where they're taking daily time with the Lord, and they're being light and salt wherever God is putting them in Israeli society.
Okay, the next one is from Netiva, which is the word guard. God's word, guard our hearts.
Hi there, my name is Joel Goldberg, and I'm the founder and director of Netiva Youth Ministry. Netiva started about 10 years ago with a clear purpose to encourage and strengthen the growth of the body of believers here in the land, both Jewish and Arab. I'd like to introduce you to our team and the things that we do.
Hi, I'm Randy Sigalum. I help coordinate conferences here at Netiva. Some of the events we do youth conferences, where we have national youth conferences that range from 200 to 350 youth that come from all over Israel. We also have boys and girls conferences, where we try to challenge and just encourage the boys and girls differently and separately, and just try to help them grow in their faith. Once a year, we also have the opportunity to fly to Germany with a group of young Israelis to go join German youth, where we have time to grow in the Word and spend time together and be encouraged. And every other year, we have Walk on Water, our biggest youth conference on the shores of the Sea of Galilee.
Hello, my name is Elichen, and I'm responsible for the bookkeeping and the registration in Netiva. Here in Netiva, we take the youth on hikes. One of the hikes is from the Mediterranean Sea to the Sea of Galilee. It's called Sea to Sea. And when we get to the end and finish the hike, the youth has such a feeling of satisfaction and accomplishment.
Hey guys, my name is Matan.
Hi, my name is Isaac. We are in charge of the Netiva Soldiers Department. And we are helping to organize the soldiers' conferences on the weekends. And we're just trying to encourage the soldiers daily and just to love them.
We also have two pre-military discipleship programs. The first one is 10 intensive days. And the second one is a discipleship and leadership program.
Hi, I'm Joel Davis. I work with media here at Netiva. I do tech support and sound during conferences. I also produce short videos for our youth and soldiers to help encourage them and keep in contact with them. Our work with media has been increasing over the last few years, and it's exciting to watch it grow.
Hi, my name is Aubrey Worley. I'm the administrative coordinator here at Netiva. One of our focuses here at Netiva is youth leaders. We have 3 youth leader seminars a year, and it's just a time where we equip and train the youth leaders for the work they're doing among the youth in the land. So we spend time studying together and worshiping, and just time to build them up and support them in their work. Another thing we do is we have young adult conferences. This is between the ages of 20 and 30 from all over the country. A lot of them are students or just out of the military. They come and we spend a Friday, Saturday together, also just really diving into the Lord's Word and spending time worshiping and just fellowshipping together and getting to know each other.
Hi, I'm Ibrahim. I work in Netiva. I'm responsible for the Knesset of the Arabic here in Netiva, and we're seeing it. כמה שזה חשוב לעשות את זה, כי יש את הגדילה ואת את הצמיחה. שראינו את זה, התחלנו לעשות גם את הטיולי שטח, לקחת את הבני נוער כדי לגבש אותם, ואני מודה לאדון על זה, שהחזון שלנו בנתיבה, שהדוברי הערבית והדוברי העברית, שיבואו ביחד, יהללו את האדון, ישתחוו לאדון ישוע, וילמדו את דבר האדון. וזה כאן אנחנו רואים את הפועל של האדון ישוע, ואנחנו מודים לו ומודים לאלוהי ישראל. אנחנו אוהבים אתכם, להתראות.
So, to sum things up, thank you for taking the time to watch this video, and just keep on praying for us as we continue to serve and build the kingdom of God here in this country. Love you guys.
Encouraging, okay? So, behold the works of the Lord in Israel in 2018 now. No one can frustrate the plans of the Lord. He's sovereign over all of his works. Are you ready for his coming, blessed hope? That blessed hope, the joy of why we want to keep ourselves pure and why we want to be sold out for him, step out of our comfort zones. And I really praise God for the ministries Joe was sharing with me that have launched out from this place and are spreading, and be praying, and we'll be working on your upcoming trip to Israel. And I know you guys will be a great encouragement and strength to the local believers there and to unbelievers to come to know Messiah. It's what it's all about, that he's delaying his coming because he is not willing that any would perish, but that all would come to repentance. You know, the Lord's really been working in my heart a love for Orthodox Jews. We live in a building in Tiberias right now. It's a very religious city. And we have Iraqi neighbors. They're religious, and they keep coming to our door knocking, and they have wonderful food. Maybe not as good as Joe's tri-tip. But I don't know where this thing went. But pull it down? Okay, up here? Whoa. I've never used one of these things before, so it's nice. But thank you, Joe. Anyway... But we really love these guys. And one night, the grandma collapsed. We actually call her Safta, which is the Hebrew word for grandma. And she was by the elevator. And I instantly started praying for her, just as when I coached baseball at the YMCA in Jerusalem. My top hitter was an Orthodox kid. And he was our home run hitter. And one day he slid, and tears were coming down his cheeks. And I just prayed for him in the name of Jesus. And I realized praying for an Orthodox Jew. And he just kind of looked up at me. And his dad said, I want to invite you home for dinner. And we sat around the family table. They had a huge family. I mean, Lynn, how many kids did they have? 10, 12 kids? And they were very pro-life. And he said, are you a rabbi? How do you know so much about the Messiah and our scriptures? I said, well, it's your book. I'm just reading your prophets, you know. So much about Yeshua. You know, we think there's maybe 300, 400 prophecies about his coming, his life, his birth, his death, his resurrection, his second coming, and there are many. But guess what? If you read it in Hebrew, he is all over the place. Everything's written about him. Abraham, he said, rejoice to see my day. And it's just loaded when you read the Hebrew and you see Yeshua's name everywhere. We have two friends. He was from an Orthodox area of Mea Shearim in Jerusalem, a man named Shaul. He was a fisherman, just like Simon. He kind of looks, well, I don't know what Simon Peter looked like. But in my imagination, if I imagine Simon Peter, it would be Shaul Zuela. And I call him the gospel machine today because everywhere he goes, just very sensitively, he shares about Yeshua in Hebrew with people. We just got back from a trip to Papua New Guinea, which was an eye-opener for me, coming from the West in abundance to going to poverty and jungles and seeing people that were much richer spiritually than I could ever imagine. I was learning from them, and yet we were doing discipleship programs for them, just getting them in the Word and talking about God's order in the church and bringing the gospel to the lost there. And it was so precious. It was just 10 days, life-changing, and just love those people. Want to go back, even with the mosquitoes and the malaria and the dysentery. You know, I can see why these guys like Livingston have went out. You know, it's just because there's real hungry people out there that are just longing to hear. And so praise God. Praise God for his work. When David Salinger called me from the Army, turned out he had a brother who was a F-16 pilot, another brother who was a Navy SEAL, and a sister, Shoshi, is married to a Lebanese believer, and they have a home for Holocaust survivors and for the elderly, which we help support and go there to encourage. We have friends that are staying there too. So, you know, God's works, it's just behold the works of the Lord. They're so precious, and you're not going to read about them in the LA Times or see them on CNN. But it's God's work that he's doing today. It's the things that Paul wrote about, the works of the Lord, carried out by the Holy Spirit. So wonderful. Okay, we're going to watch one last film from the Bible Society of Jerusalem that's really getting the word out. We also have a base down in Gaza where some of the believers have been put to death by the radical Muslims there. So they paid a great price for their faith, their stand for the Lord. Praise God. It is sad. You know, we pray for the widows, the children that are left behind. But this is what Jesus said when, you know, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll receive power to be my witnesses. The Greek word is martyrs. You know, we may not think like Corrie Ten Boom said, Dad, won't I want to be afraid when it's my time? And he reminded her, Corrie, when you go on the train, because there's a lot of trains in the Netherlands, he says, when do I give you the ticket? He goes, when I go on board. He said, it's the same thing. The Lord, when you need it, he'll give it to you. And she didn't know that she'd go to concentration camps. I'm going to be going next month. Linda and I will be visiting Auschwitz. But Corrie was in a number of prisons, and they were able to smuggle in the Bible. And that little Bible brought many, many people, Jewish and non-Jewish, to the Lord before they went to meet their Maker. And after that, the testimony that went out, she even led some of the Nazis to the Lord afterwards. God was able to give her forgiveness in her heart to even love her enemies. And that Jesus' light shines brightest on the darkest night. What a message. So let's look at this last film by this precious brother, Victor Kalischer.
Being a Jew that believes in Jesus in Israel today, there is much more openness. The body in Israel is a body that grows. My name is Victor Kalischer, and I'm the director of the Bible Society in Israel. We really want to reach out to Israelis with the Word of God. It's the Spirit of the Lord that puts the desire in our hearts to reach out to our people. One of the main projects that we have is the outreach in New Age festivals. In many times, we are the ones that supply the scriptures for evangelism. Sometimes people think of bookstores, you know, it's not so exciting, just a place, you sell stuff. I call it a place of everyday miracles. It's a place where people know that they can come here, they can come with questions, they know who we are. It's a way, if you like, of follow-up. An ultra-Orthodox young man came to the store, told him, so you know who we are? He says, yes, I know. Told him, do you know what do we believe in? He says, yeah, I know, and he smiled. We talked like for an hour, and it was way beyond the time to close the place. I can tell you that he was touched. I can tell you that he got the gospel. And I can tell you that I pray that the Lord will touch his heart until he will change it. It is important for us to be in the field, to see the needs, to get the feedback, to see the impact. Mm. But also, of course, to be the ones that enables the local body to distribute the Word of God. And we distribute tens of thousands of scriptures thanks to the fellowship of the Bible Society and other partners for outreach in the land. And what God can do in the lives of our people, you know, if He opens their eyes and if He shows His light in their lives, this will change their life.
So please pray for your family in Israel. D.L. Moody said, the world is yet to see what God will do through a man, or even through a woman, may I add, who will fully yield himself to him, to trust him, fall back in his arms, to do the impossible. I don't know what you're going through today. I know we all have trials, tribulation, problems in our lives. But we also have a God who has a solution to every problem and can work good out of even evil for his glory and give us hope. And sometimes it won't make sense, some of the things that happen to us on this side of eternity. I have a good friend, Randy Elkhorn, who's a prolific Christian writer, and we've been able to translate a lot of his pro-life literature and put it into Hebrew and Russian and other languages. And his ministry is called Eternal Perspective Ministry, Eternal Perspectives. And so on the other side, when we see him, it's all going to be worth it. What eye has not seen or ear heard, God has prepared for the hearts of those and the lives of those who love him. So thank you so much for the privilege of allowing Linda and I to be here with you this morning, share a little bit from Israel. I wish I could bring a lot of our Israeli believers over here. Perhaps one day we'll do that. You can meet them and talk with them and fellowship with them. But really, your prayers do keep us all going there. God bless you. Thank you. Okay, so it's where Mount Hermon is. Remember when Jesus asked his disciples, who do men say that I am? And Simon Peter said, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood did not reveal that to you, but my Father who's in heaven. They went up the high mountain. And Peter was so excited because Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah. Interesting, huh? In the New Testament. About the things that would come, because after that he would go to Jerusalem to give his life and rise from the dead. And Peter was so excited, he said, I want to build a sukkah, that's a tent, for these guys, for each one of you. He was just so excited. Yeah, perhaps, you know, in his flesh, or just, he was a servant. And so then it says they heard a voice, and Peter talks about that later. We were on that mountain when God's glory came down, and the Father said, this is my Son, listen to him. Listen to him.
He's not talking about me. I'm just Joe. But praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for Ted and Linda. Glory to God. We got a few minutes before we'll and then we'll pass out the communion. But every once in a while, you know, we go over there and have a great tour. But every time we have a tour over there, we make it evangelical. We make sure we go as missionaries. And I had a guy from the Bible Society that worked at the bookstore when I was getting some books there. He was blown away that I was getting books on, you know, Jewish evangelism and stuff. And he was like, you share the gospel with the Jews here when you're on tour? I go, yeah. He goes, I really get aggravated. You know, he's a Christian Jew, Jewish believer. But he goes, I get really aggravated because Christians come here on tour and they want to see all the sights, but they don't realize the Jewish people are perishing without the gospel. And they don't share the gospel with anyone. And I think it's like self-centered. It's all about them and what they can see. And what about all these people that need Jesus? So they'll go to hell, you know? I'm so happy he wanted to join me going witnessing. So we went down to Ben Yehuda Street. Ben Yehuda was the man who helped restore the language of Hebrew to, he was the main catalyst to restore the language of Hebrew to the Jews as in the in fulfillment of the prophecy that he restored to them their pure language. And it's kind of like equivalent to our Third Street here, where we go witnessing. And we went down there, and it's a long story with him. He's the guy that, you know, they almost stoned us to death, you know. And God worked us through that. But he was still happy that we were going to show, that some of us were sharing the gospel. So just to let you know, we're going in March, if you could be ready in time. But the good news is, not this March. March of 2019. And there's other good news. Airfares are really cheap. Usually you pay between $1,500, $2,000 for airfare. On Al, it was probably $2,500 a person. We've been looking, if we were going this March, and that's not much headway, but we're going the following March, it's already, well, it's spring. That's when all the flowers are coming up, right after the snows in February, and it's the most beautiful time to come. And that's what we're looking at. It's about $700-$800 a ticket. And Round trip, $700-$800, and then after tax, it could push you toward, you know, $1,000. But if we get them even sooner, right, they'll be way cheaper than that probably. So it's real doable for people. I mean, if you really want to go someplace, I mean, just don't get coffee a few times here and there for a year plus, and guess what? You'll have your money. It'll maybe, you know, skip a couple big meals here and there too, you know. But pray about it, because we usually get about 25 people going. And I'm thinking now, because we have so much leeway as far as time goes and the prices are relatively inexpensive, to go on a mission trip. And you could also request help because it's also a mission trip. So people will help you if they understand that you're going to witness to the Jews. Amen. So pray about that because I've had different families come to me in the last few years saying, when are we going to Israel again? That have never gone. And I've had several people that have gone. I've been to a lot of different countries. And there's nothing that comes close to a place I want to visit, not even close, than to Israel. It's just, it's mind-boggling. I'm seeing some people like Greg over there. Lewis, he went with us our last trip. His head's going up and down, smiling. It's so amazing. Even if you just went to a few sites, it's amazing. But we go to all these different sites. You know, the empty tomb, you know, the area Golgotha, the Garden of Gethsemane, which we know is the Garden of Gethsemane with these olive trees that are 1700, 1800 years old. Many believe that these olive trees have come out of the roots from the olive trees that were there when Jesus came. The Kidron Valley, the Temple Mount, on top of the Temple Mount, the Valley of Megiddo, Caiaphas' courtyard, where Jesus spent time in a dungeon waiting his trial. We will actually go into the dungeon where it's believed that Jesus spent the night. We'll go to where we'll see games inscribed on the ground below the city that's there now. We'll go to the lower part of the city where you can see where Jesus had walked, carried his cross. And you'll see different games that are inscribed in the ground that the Romans would play when they're killing their time before they're killing their supposed criminal. And remember when they cast lots, they would do these things. And you're just blown away seeing these things. I can't even. The Sea of Galilee, you know, Tahoe is beautiful. The Sea of Galilee is like that, except without as many people. You're just like, you go on a boat ride. You talk about what Jesus taught on the boat, you know. A lot of teaching, you know, the Mount of Beatitudes, you know. All kinds of places. The Valley of Megiddo and the plains of Megiddo, where you just can't even see how far it goes. It's just so vast. You're just like, what in the world? Eilat, you know, that's the southern part of Italy. The Dead Sea, Masada, climbing up to Masada. Some of you have seen the movie Masada, popular secular movie. I mean, it's amazing. Now, this is just off the top of my head. There's so many, you know, go snorkeling in Eilat, you know, seeing incredibly beautiful fish. Standing in southern Israel in Eilat, looking at, you know, Saudi Arabia or Jordan and Saudi Arabia and Egypt and Israel all at one time. Go to the Syrian border, where there's a war right now, right? But it's totally safe. But we get treatment. So when you usually go on a tour, you do what they want you to do. Ted and Linda are so gracious. And because of their connection to the land, we get this very special treatment to where we'll have a Jeep ride. Ted said he'd have a Jeep ride set up where we could have a couple hours along the border by one of the foremost experts on Syria and their military campaigns. And they'll be witnessing in the evenings at times. So some people, and you might say, okay, well, I've been touring all day and I just want to chill and just seek the Lord and just relax in Him tonight. And others will go out witnessing, sharing the gospel, which to me, that becomes one of the most exciting things. So sharing the gospel with Jewish people in Israel and with Muslims, with Arabs. There are some of the, like Ted, we went to the Colosseum. We didn't know we were going. We just got a call the night before I go. And I was like, Lord, I always get blessed when I go over to Israel. I wish we could have some kind of blessing for them. I mean, they've been in California, so where are we going to take them? They used to live here. So I said, we'll have a little barbecue just to, you know, with family, a couple people that know them really well. And then all of a sudden we get a call, and he's a big football fan, to go to the playoff game. I'm like, bring a buddy. I go, okay, praise God, you know. And we had a great time. But now we get to go, and they set us up with, I'm just letting you know, can you at least pray about it? Pray about, say, hey, God, is it your will for me to go on a tour in 2019 and be blessed? Because I want to get Ted ready. We usually have around 25 people. I'm thinking we might have 40 people this time. I don't know. My wife doesn't think so, but we'll see. But you'll have a great time. We have a blessed time. And that's why so many people who have gone keep wanting to go back. It's one of those trips where you just want to go back. Chuck and Lola are praying about going and Lori and Walt, and they'll be like helping lead worship. You can see they bring a real messianic flavor to the worship when they desire to. And Lori's part Jewish, you know. It's exciting. So, but pray that God would maybe give you a burden for the people. Because when you share the gospel here, it's really hard. A lot of people aren't open. The easiest neighbor for me to share the gospel with in my cul-de-sac is the Israeli guy. because I know how open they are to talk. And they're very open. You'll have an easy conversations. And like Ted said, we talked about, they don't know. I went to a Jew that the long, you know, very orthodox looking, long beard, the kippah, the, you know, wailing while praying. And I was a newer, you know, first time in Israel. It was probably my, you know, late 20s or something. And I said, I'm going to witness to him. And I start sharing the Gospels with him, Isaiah 53 and Daniel and different pictures. And he's like, I never read these passages. We don't read the prophets. You know, we just read Torah, the first five, but they accept the prophets. But the prophets tell them why they need Jesus, you know, and why they need a Messiah, why they need the Savior. And they do skip. They skip Isaiah 52 and Isaiah 53 in synagogue. Isaiah 51, then they go to 54. They skip the Jesus parts. And so they're not familiar with these things. Because I have to ask my rabbi, my sage, and the joy, but they're open. So I just want to encourage you, pray about it, because what makes our trip special is we get to go to places that people don't go, and we share the gospel. And we have friends in the land like Ted and Linda, and it's so beautiful. So just pray about it and ask the Lord. And if it's not this trip, maybe it's another trip. Amen. So with that said, one of the things we share, we're going to pass out the communion. And you guys, if you could do that now, it'd be great. When Ted and Linda and I were sharing the gospel with, and by the way, Dirk-Jan, who we were talking to when we left him in the car with Lisa on the phone from the Netherlands, the next day he contacted Ted and said, my wife and I went out sharing the gospel and we shared with a couple and they received Jesus, you know. So that's why, your life is so awesome when you live for God. Amen. If you don't live for the Lord and you're living for yourself, you're going to get bored, you know. Plus, you're going to be in rebellion. You need to get right with God and live for the Lord. Amen. But I praise God for Ted and Linda. Let's keep them in our prayers. It's great that they can come out more. Hopefully we'll see them more and they'll see more of us as well. But one of the things we shared with our Israeli neighbor is I said, you celebrate Passover, right? He goes, yes, of course. And I went into the Afikomen, and, you know, the three pieces of bread. I go, you're familiar with the three pieces of bread? He goes, of course. The one in the middle. Well, I mean, what do these signify? He wasn't sure, you know. And I said, it's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And the middle piece is a picture of Jesus. And you guys take out the middle piece. He goes, yes. I go, you break it. Yes, Jesus was broken. It has stripes, right? Yes. By his stripes, it says we're healed in Isaiah 53. You know, it's bruised. And it says he was bruised for our iniquities. It's pierced. He said it's pierced for our transgressions. You know, it's unleavened because he's without sin. It's all a picture of Jesus. And I'm sharing this with him. And I say, and then what do after you break it? You wrap it in cloth, don't you? He goes, yes, we do. I go, that's what they did to Jesus. I go, then what do? I go, you bury it somewhere. You hide it, right? Yes. I go, that's what they did with Jesus. He's buried. Then what happens? You bring it forth and resurrect it. He's getting the whole picture. I go, that's what they did. That's what Jesus did. They didn't do it with Jesus. He resurrected himself. Amen. God raised him. The Father, it says the Spirit raised him. And it says Jesus said, destroy this temple 3 days. I will rise it up. The whole Trinity was involved in his resurrection. Amen. And he rose from the dead. And what happens? Whoever sees, whoever finds, whoever brings it forth is the one that gets the reward, right? I said, you need to come to Jesus. I go, because Jesus, they practiced that for thousands of years. And Jesus took that because he was to be crucified on Passover the next day. So he had an abbreviated Passover. And he took that piece of bread and he said, this is my body. Represented him. Amen. And the beauty is that Jesus died for our sins. And you cannot be saved except through the true gospel of Jesus Christ. And Ted was saying that before he was saved, he was thinking he needed to go to a priest. But the Bible says that no human priest can save you. The Bible says there's only one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Amen. He's our high priest. And Ted said he had to come to know the high priest. Amen. And there can be people out there sharing the fruit of what Jesus wants us to do and saving babies and so forth. But that won't save you. Ted had to fire up a group in the Netherlands who were all about mission work as far as saving babies, but they forgot the ultimate mission work in sharing the gospel. He says, great, you're saving babies, but you need to tell people about Jesus, you know, so they could be saved. It's only through Jesus that we're saved. Amen. And it's only when we know Jesus that the work of the gospel bears eternal fruit with the gospel. Amen. So if you don't know Jesus, make sure you embrace him right now as your Lord and Savior. Amen? Because you can't be saved apart from Jesus. Jesus said, he that's not with me is what? Against me. You're either for him or against him. There's no middle ground. Amen? He doesn't leave you a place on the fence. You have to choose, as Ted was sharing, choose life. Amen? Choose Jesus. And I'll tell you what, if some of you are thinking, man, that's work to go and share the gospel, it's a joy. Shira is in Japan. She knows Hebrew, English, Japanese, and Korean. Young lady. And she's there dedicating her life to sharing Jesus without a bunch of, without family. Come on, we can get off our rear end and share with our friends and neighbors. Amen. In the language we already know. Amen. Let's do it, at least the bare minimum. But thank God we're not saved by how many doors we knock on or how many people we share the gospel with. We're saved by what Jesus Christ did on the cross and paying for our sins. Amen.